supporting you in your dog parenting journey. The Dynamic Dog Owner with Debbie Potter. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Dynamic Dog Owner. I hope you are enjoying listening to all we have to talk about dogs. As you will know if you are a regular listener, this is a podcast about supporting dog owners, so people in their dog parenting journey. Yes, we talk about a little bit of dog training topics, but we don't talk about the how-tos of dog training. This podcast is about supporting you because life with your dog can be challenging. We come across many different incidences and situations where we can lack in confidence, where we can feel a little bit disheartened, and where we come across different sort of emotions in our journey. So supporting us as the handler, the trainer of our dog, is just as important as actually knowing how to teach your dog something. Today's topic is judgment, because I'm sure, I know I have, and I'm sure at some point in your dog training journey, you have felt judged, that somebody is judging you. And let's face it, we've all probably judged somebody else as well, because it's one of the natural things that you sometimes do. So have you felt judged? Have you ever been out for a walk with your dog and felt that somebody was sort of looking at you going, they don't know what they're doing, or why they're doing it that way, or I wouldn't do it like this? Hopefully you've never felt it in a professional capacity. Your dog trainer, people you work with, shouldn't make you feel that you're not doing a very good job. So hopefully you have never felt that way. Most dog trainers, my aim especially, I try to, is always to make people feel as empowered and as confident and positive as they can. So I try my utmost to never make people feel judged. But let's face it, I think it's one of those things, it's human nature. Sometimes you create an opinion, you look at a stereotype. We can't always avoid it. None of us are perfect as people. We know our dogs aren't perfect. Us as people, we aren't perfect either. We cannot be. So sometimes we do find ourselves creating an image or an opinion that isn't based on fact. So today, obviously, I'm going to talk about a few situations where I have been judged. And obviously why it's not okay, and the situations that you may feel that you have been judged in as well. So obviously judgment comes because we see something on the face of it. We see something from one perspective, which is our own perspective. We don't know the person we're judging potentially. We don't know their situations. We don't know their circumstances. And that's why it's always good to just, before you form a strong opinion, stop, think, what else could be going on here? And looking at stuff from other people's point of view so that we are fully understanding their situation and their circumstance. So, you know, let's think of a few situations where you could potentially judge people. Their dog comes running over to you while your dog's on a lead, for example. We've all seen somebody being dragged down the street. And you may go, God, they need to take that dog to training. But you don't know the situation. You don't know what's going on. We could well judge people who rehome their dogs, you know. We hear judgment from people who choose to buy a puppy rather than going to a rescue. Everybody has their opinion on all of these things. I know specifically in the dog training industry, there is a lot of judgment regarding what other dog trainers use or the tools they use and what methods they use. Considering everyone's out for the welfare of the dogs, it can get a little bit vile sometimes and very argumentative and opinionated. But remember, in all these situations, we're not conversing, we're not talking to somebody, and we're not getting to know them, their circumstances, the situations, the whys. See judgment not as a opportunity, or see these situations not as an opportunity to judge someone, but to go, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder if they've tried this. They're probably working really hard. They probably are doing this. And then just see if maybe your judgment is valid or not. So my opinion is, we've all heard the saying, don't judge a book by its cover. People surprise us. You don't always know what's going on in someone's life. You don't know their personal circumstances. And that's why we shouldn't be judging. We shouldn't be placing judgment on people. Yes, we can have our opinions, but it's often best to keep those to ourselves. So a couple of situations where I have been judged, and you may well relate to these, you may not. And obviously, I talk from personal experience because I feel that that's most personable, obviously. But it can help you understand why people judge, and then equally why they shouldn't. So first sort of, I came to three situations when I was sort of thinking of the topic of today's podcast. And I found three particular situations, not always recently, but in the past, where I have been judged. And these are my people who know what I do. They know my job, and they know sort of what I do with my dogs. And they still judge me, which is fine. Everyone has their opinion. It's not a problem. But I'm quite lucky in a way that over the years, as I've grown as a person, I have developed quite a thick skin. Things like this don't bother me anymore. Two or three years ago, they would have bothered me, and I would have probably stopped doing things that I will talk about to avoid these things happening, which is where judgment can really affect people's confidence and their sort of inner self-confidence, their inner confidence. So it's not a good thing to do. So first of all, years ago, I was on holiday and I posted a picture of me and my dogs, two at the time, on a beach, and the dogs were on long lines. And I had a comment on my Facebook page to say, basically, why are your dogs always on a lead? They would have so much more fun if they were off a lead. In a nutshell, I'm sure there's a bit more to it. So my dogs should be off lead. They would have more fun if they were off lead. And you should just let them off because you're on a really big beach. So obviously, from the picture, yes, I've got two dogs, both on a long line, in the sea. Well, I think they were like paddling in the sea, sort of on the edge, walking along what looked like a really big, empty beach. So yeah, why can't my dogs be off the lead in that situation? Fair point. But rather than asking the question, why are your dogs on lead? It was, your dog shouldn't be on lead. Now, first of all, as you've heard me talk about in many podcast episodes, your choice to let your dog on off the lead is absolutely personal. For many, many reasons, people don't let their dogs off the lead, and it's your choice. No one should make you feel like you have to let your dog off of a lead if you're not happy about it, if you're not comfortable with it. So obviously, that's what the person judged. One photo of two dogs on a sunny beach that looked like a big empty beach on long lines. Now, in my opinion, my dogs had a wicked time on the beach. We had a lovely long walk along the beach. Yes, they both had, I think we had longer leads because when I'm on a beach, I tend to have a longer long lead. So they were probably on 10 meter leads, loads of space to run around, loads of time to explore and do what they want to do, move at their own pace. Happy days. We had a really, really nice day out. So without knowing, there were many reasons why I had them on that lead that day. Yes, maybe I could have let them off. But what you couldn't see in the photo was that I have never seen so many jellyfish in my life on that day. There were hundreds of jellyfish all across the beach. I don't want my dog going up and picking and eating up a jellyfish. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have. But if they happened to be showing a bit too much interest, I needed to make sure they weren't going to get too close to the jellyfish, and I wanted to be able to get them away from the jellyfish quite quickly without being stung. Obviously, jellyfish stings aren't great. And there were literally thousands. It was also a relatively busy beach. We had moved at that point to the quieter end, considering it was a very, very big beach. But there were lots of families, there was lots of dog walkers, there was lots of people. I don't want my dog to be that dog, quite simply, that is disturbing everybody. There were also horses on the beach. So it's a place where they have organised rides. So there were probably about 10 horses, heavy horses, so like shire horses, that were being ridden up and down the beach. And obviously they were moving at a very, very quick pace. I potentially at that point wouldn't have been able to get my dog back to me quick enough without being interested by the horses. I believe my youngest dog was around a year old at the time. So in that lovely teenage stage, Yes, you couldn't see them in the photo, but I knew they were coming up and down at regular intervals, and I didn't want to constantly be looking over my shoulder going, where are the horses? So my dog's on a long line for safety. And another reason, which again makes it, those were all very practical, very, very practical reasons as to why my dog was on a lead. Now, for a long period, probably a good couple of years, my dogs were not off the lead any time I was out with my family, because my daughter has anxiety, and not just I'm a little bit anxious, she suffers with true anxiety. And at that time, for her, our dogs being off lead in public caused a massive attack of anxiety, to the point where we couldn't walk as a family if she thought the dogs were going to be off lead. She was much happier if the dogs were on lead. There was no risk of losing them or them getting into any problems. If they go too far away, she's panicked they won't recall. Why would I let my dogs off lead in that situation? Every time she wasn't with me, the dogs got off the lead because I trusted them. So it was okay. But when she was with me, I promise I will keep the dogs on the lead. You don't have to worry about it. So you've got practical reasons there. And you've also got a family situation, a personal reason that I'm not going to tell everybody about. Obviously, I'm telling you now. everyone who listens to my podcast, I'm letting you into the secret. But, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry doesn't need to know that that is something that strikes my, or did at the time, strike my daughter with huge anxiety. They don't need to know that. That's personal. I don't have to share that with people. Years later, I can. It's my choice to. But at the time, that was a big, big deal. So somebody potentially judges on one snapshot in time. Now, you may well have had situations where people, you're out for a walk and people say, your dog should be off the lead. Your dog should be doing this. Why don't you let them off? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You've got your reasons. Stick to it. Don't worry about other people's opinions. It's easier said than done, I agree. But popping your head like into that space where you go, I don't need to worry about other people's opinions and I can concentrate on me, is really, really, really important. You don't have to do something just because somebody else suggests it or implies your dog would have a better time. I am a very, very, very firm believer that dogs have and can have just as much fun staying on a lead or a long line as they can off lead. And I personally think, as people, we have a better time because you haven't got to worry about them rushing over to other people. You haven't got to worry about them going and eating people's picnics or peeing up their bags if you've got a boy dog. You haven't got to worry about all the situations that could happen because your dog's on a lead. They're still having fun. You're still enjoying your walk, but you are having a relaxing time and keeping your own energy levels and anxiety levels down. So that's a real positive thing, in my opinion. If you're not happy, keep your dog on a lead. Simples. So another situation where regularly I have been judged is one of my dogs is a big dog. Okay, so he has been fat shamed many, many times by vets, by people, by people watching my reels on TikTok, or not TikTok, but Instagram mainly. And people have messaged me saying, you know, your dog's fat, basically. Now, again, this is one that annoys me because I have to constantly justify why he's a big boy. And quite simply, he is a traditional show Labrador who are deep chested, bigger build, short legs. That's what they look like. He has a lot of genetic, well, he has a genetic condition that means basically he can't overexercise. And it's only now we're finding that nice equilibrium of where we can just about manage his exercise at the right times without him being unwell. He is a little bit more unhealthy because of this genetic condition. He also has a lame shoulder. So if he overexercises too much, he gets a sore shoulder, which he has received treatment for and does receive treatment for. Monitor his diet regularly. And recently he's had an injury to his foot where he had probably 6 weeks of limited exercise while it was recovering and healing. So all of those things come into the reasons why my dog is overweight, in people's opinion. In my opinion, We've been working really hard on managing his weight all the time because of the genetic condition and his poor shoulder. So he has a, you know, low fat diet. He has, it's managed to try and keep him as well as he can be. He is a bigger breed. I can't change the size of him. I can't change how deep his chest is. I can't change the shape of his body. Just like we can't with people, you know, some people are born to only be 4'5" or whatever, 4'11". I don't know what standard heights are. Some people are born to be 6 foot. You don't say to a 6 foot person, you're a bit tall. Could you, you know, change that, please? They can't. It's the size they are. And, you know, one of my dogs is a bigger, chunkier, you know, physically built dog. It's not that he has lots of fat. He is just a deeper, wider set dog. Now, what I always have to justify, because obviously a lot of medical professionals like vets will say to me, he needs to lose weight. I'm like, guys, he eats half the amount that my skinny dogs eat. It's his metabolism. He cannot change that. In the past, my first dog was super duper skinny, to the point where people would say, you need to feed that dog a bit more. And I'd be like, guys, he eats huge amounts of food. I'm like feeding him all the time. He never puts on weight. He is always skin and bone. And he always was. From when we got him to when he, you know, when we lost him, so what, 12 years we had him, he was skinny. You could see all of his ribs, which, yes, maybe he was underweight, but it's not that he didn't eat. He just was a skinnier dog. Again, just like one of my dogs has a big set, he had a really skinny bone structure. His body wasn't that big. His shoulder set was smaller. His rib cage was smaller. But I think because of his breed, so he was a golden retriever, people are used to seeing big golden retrievers, not skinny ones. And weirdly enough, I have another skinny golden retriever now. And yes, compared to other golden retrievers, he is very skinny, but it's who he is. He can't change it. Why do we feel we have to judge without knowing all of that? Now, there's a difference between, you know, a overweight dog, and there's a difference between somebody who is consciously aware of the fact that they need to either feed up their dog or cut down, give them more exercise, etc. But why do people feel that it's there? You know, they're right to make you feel bad about that. You know, this particular one, the most recent person actually said, how on earth can she be a good dog trainer because she has a fat dog? Now, you know, how on earth does that affect the quality of my job? We wouldn't talk about people, maybe some people do, but we wouldn't talk about people that way. How can they possibly be good at their job sitting on a desk when they're 6'5"? You know, they're too tall for that job. They shouldn't be doing it. Yes, obviously we have some careers where traditionally there is a height. You know, if you're tall, you're normally good at basketball. If you're short, you're better at other things. I don't know what. But, you know, you can't reach certain shelves and stuff. But we don't say you're not capable of doing a job because of your height. Why would we then put that into dogs? And, you know, I'm sure many of you listening will say, you know, I know for myself, you know, why does that make a difference? What opinion does it have? You'll probably say you've had this happen before. You've been out and someone said, oh, you need to feed that dog up. Or, oh, he's a bit of a big lad. You know, you not just in terms of weight, but you have people who say, you got your hands full there. You know, if you've got a bouncy dog, people like to pass judgment. And if you are the type of person, which majority of people are, they do take that on board. And it does kind of sit with you for a long period of time. It can be really difficult to shake those judgments that are passed on you, those comments that are made. But always think to yourself, I'm doing the best I can in this situation. I am doing the best thing that I can, and I'm doing what is right now. And stuff everybody else, quite simply. Stuff their opinions. Keep your opinion to yourself. I don't need it. Now, obviously, you know, this is great if it's members of the public, but if it is your family members, you might have to have a bit more of a frank conversation. If you head back to one of our podcast episodes, I think it's like maybe episode 1 or 2, we were talking about creating, you know, a positive person, a positive dog handler. And it we did touch on, you know, how can you basically be feeling more positive? And it is telling people, you know, I don't need your opinion, thank you very much. And distancing yourself or creating healthier boundaries between people who are going to pass judgment, if they are people, obviously, that are in your everyday life where you're regularly seeing or have a relationship. Now, one other sort of judgment I've had recently is that, again, and it's so silly, it doesn't bother me, but I think it's silly in a way, that somebody felt the need to comment on a reel saying, how can you be a good dog trainer because you only film your reels in an enclosed fenced field? So I'm not very good at my job because I film my dogs and create reels in a fenced space. Now, this one I just don't get. I'm sorry, I don't get, because all I see is responsible. And feel free to share your opinion if you think it's different. You know, my goal on Instagram is not to go, look at me, look how great I am, look how brilliant my dogs are. That is not my aim. If it comes across that way, then I need to change my tactics, because that is not my intention. My intention is, hey, look, I'm having fun with my dogs. Here are a few handy tips. You can enjoy life with your dog too. You know, these are tips and suggestions to help you gain more knowledge to have a better life with your dog. It's not about, look at me, look at me, look at me. Yeah, this one I just find really odd. What difference does it make if I film in a fenced space or not? To me, one, it's way more responsible for me to be filming in an enclosed space. Because if I'm filming in public, who's watching my dogs, for one? Because if you've never filmed reels for Instagram for marketing, it takes a lot of time. You know, that 15-second clip doesn't take 15 seconds. You might do 50 times, you know, you might do it 3, 4, 5 times, different ways, different styles. Your dog doesn't always play ball. Definitely doesn't play ball. We need to do another bloopers reel soon. It doesn't take 15 seconds. It might take 5 minutes. Now, for those 5 minutes where I'm concentrating on the camera being in the right place, my dog walking in the right place, I'm not aware of my surroundings. So anything could be coming into my environment and I may not notice because I'm preoccupied. It's no different to going for a walk staring at your phone, right? All of a sudden there's a horse. All of a sudden there's a group of young children that you need to put your dog on a lead for. To me, when I'm out with my dogs in public, they have, within reason, you know, 95% of my attention. Obviously, I'm always going to get distracted because, hey, everyone does. And that's how my brain works. I am easily distracted. But I try not to do different things whilst I'm walking my dogs, because I want them to have my full attention, because I need to be aware of my surroundings, reading situations and ensuring we're not a pain to society, basically. So if I am filming reels in public, I can't be doing that. So of course I'm going to be practicing and showing and filming in an enclosed space. Equally, you know, my life, I've not talked about it on the podcast because, is it relevant? I don't know. It probably is. My life isn't quite simple. You know, I don't have a standard sort of typical family setup. My kids don't go to school, for one. We have quite a lot of, we're all neurodivergent, and we have quite a lot of struggles that we are working through as a family, supporting each individual. So right now, actually, I don't really get to go out in public with my dogs much. Walking the dog is a quick exercise. I need to be able to get all three walked as quickly as possible and exercised as quickly as possible, and getting them the most out of the short amount of time that I can be out with them. So I don't have the option to go walking for miles. I need to be able to be home in 5 minutes, and my venue where I train and where I film is 5 minutes away from my house. So it's easy. My logistics mean it's the only option I have right now. Do you need to know that? No. Why do I feel the need to justify myself? Because I have been judged on it. And I'm just highlighting that you do not know somebody else's personal circumstances. You do not know what is going on in their life. You do not know how they're feeling. There are so many questions and points that can affect why somebody is doing something, why someone can't afford training, why a dog's pulling them down the street, why a dog's not recalling. Yes, in the moment, we generally as people, I think especially nowadays with social media where we just instantly write on our keyboard, I think you're doing that wrong. I think that's terrible. You shouldn't be doing it this way. It's so easy to hide behind a screen and just give people your opinion. We don't need to be doing that, you know? Do what is right for you, whatever that is. If you are happy doing what you're doing, that is the most important thing. Yeah, sometimes I feel bad that I don't get to take my dogs on super duper long, exciting walks, but my life doesn't allow it right now. In the future, it might. In the past, it did. We will see where next year brings us. I'm happy with that. I know my dogs are getting a great life. And if sometimes they go, oh, I feel so bad, you know, the dogs don't get to go to as many places, I have my husband going, hey, they have access to like 5 acres of field every day. They're fine. I'm like, oh yeah, they are cool. Most people would kill for this. You know, that's life. That's what it is. Don't judge people. If you see someone struggling with their dog, don't automatically assume that they haven't done any training. You don't know what's happened the 5 minutes before them on a walk. If you see someone who's got their dog on a lead in an open space, don't judge them for having their dog on lead, not off lead. That's their choice and there's a reason for it. If a dog's pulling them down the street, you automatically assume they've never done a day's training. Not they're having a bloody shit day and they just want to get around the block as quickly as possible and get home. You know, don't judge people. Don't do it. Don't see something and instantly come to an opinion, because it makes other people feel bad. You know how you feel if you feel judged and it feels naff and you feel inadequate and it starts putting in self-doubt and feeling bad. Don't judge people without knowing their personal circumstances, without knowing their reasons, without knowing what's going on around them. So yes, obviously today's podcast is my life experiences as judgment and some examples, but hopefully it will make you understand or help you understand. I mean, I think I'm probably talking to the converted really, because most of the people who listen to my podcast, I know are pretty amazing people, I'm sure. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. I know we have regular listeners from our clients, but we also have listeners worldwide who I've clearly never met. So I know you guys are amazing. I'm pretty certain, not the people that are going to be judging others. But you have probably felt judged at some point in your dog parenting journey and certainly in your life. So obviously don't worry about what other people are doing. Concentrate on yourself. Try not to judge them. If you do feel yourself creeping into judgment, just go, hang on, what else could be happening here? And if you feel judged, just remember, somebody else's opinion has nothing to do with what you're doing. You are doing a brilliant job working with your dog, living with your dog, doing the best thing for them and the best thing for you, and having the best life together. And that is the most important thing. Now, sometimes the parenting journey can feel really lonely, especially if you aren't part of a training school, if you live somewhere remotely where you haven't got that support. We can offer that to you. Listen to our podcast. Hopefully it will make you feel like you've got a friendly ear, you know, giving you some advice. But equally, do become part of our community. Listen, sign up to our emails. There's a link in the show description. Head into our Facebook group. It's a space where you will feel supported by myself, by the training team, and our community of hundreds of other dog owners who all have a wonderful ethos and a wonderful outlook on working with their dogs. So if you are lacking support and need a cheerleader in your corner, head over into our space and become part of our community, because we are here to help you. Now, hopefully you're going to head out now and enjoy a judgment-free walk. No one's going to judge you. And of course, you're not going to judge anyone because you're fab people. Have a wonderful week and I can't wait to speak to you again next week. Thank you for listening to The Dynamic Dog Owner with me, Debbie Potter. See you next time.